How you doing?
Good.
Good? Yeah? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Tryptophan starting to wear off? Yeah. And so now it begins, doesn't it? Because as soon as Thanksgiving dinner is over, a whole new season starts, right? Okay. I'm going to do a little show of hands here just because we can be honest. Who ever went Black Friday shopping? Okay. No, you can put your hand up. There's no shame in it. It's all right. Okay. Let's see who got up earliest. Okay. Anybody wake up earlier than 7 a.m. to go shopping? 7? Okay. How about our 6 a.m.ers? Any 5 a.m.ers? Oh, Dave, you got a story, man. Okay. How about 4 a.m.ers? Who here never even went to bed that night? They're just like, no, okay. Anyway, so the whole season, this is a big deal. It's a really big deal. And it's going to seem like from now until Christmas, just about every waking moment is sort of filled with Christmassy stuff. And Christmas can be, this whole Christmas season can be a wonderful thing. I mean, there's some fantastic family stuff that happens at Christmas. And for a lot of us as kids, some of our favorite memories are connected to Christmas. It's also a time where, because there's all these different memories and all these different expectations and all these different traditions kind of piled one on top of the other, it can be really easy to sort of miss the plot in the midst of all of it. I was thinking this week how, if somebody had just, you know, that had no idea of kind of Western culture and no idea of Christianity and the impact of Jesus' life on countries and all that kind of stuff, and they were just watching from afar the things that happened during the Christmas season, this increase of activity where everybody gets really, really busy. And shopping increases, and generosity increases, and families gather in ways that they don't normally gather, and there's all the weirdness that comes along with families gathering in ways that they don't normally gather. I just wonder what the outsider looking in would think of this whole business. And I wonder whether, from the outside looking in, if somebody was just watching, you know, kind of what happens in typical American household or whatever, they'd go, oh, absolutely, it must be because of Jesus. My hunch is they wouldn't see it, at least not initially. At least not initially. Because we have all this, all these expectations, all these traditions piled on top of traditions in ways that we don't even remember sometimes where it all came from. And the holiday season, well, it can be a profound source of joy. I mean, it's a time where there's generally more generosity than normal. There's generally more family gathering than normal, and that's a good thing. It's also a time where, because of all those expectations, depression tends to be more prevalent than it is at other times in the year. Sadly, suicide is more prevalent than in other times of the year because there's so much pressure, so much expectation. So I thought it'd be good, as we start this journey, this Advent journey, this Christmas journey, to remember really what the whole point is behind all of it. So we're going to turn to the scriptures. And we're going to turn to the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Because so whether that's in your Bible apps or in your paper Bibles, however you access God's word, we're going to spend a little bit of time there and go back to the core. Go back to the source. Go back to the big idea. Because ultimately, the reason why we celebrate Christmas and the season of Advent, this time of anticipation and longing for the coming of Christ, isn't because of reindeer. Or did you know that reindeer and caribou are the same animal?
Yeah.
I just learned that recently, and like that just fascinates me. But Rudolph the Red-Nosed Caribou just doesn't work the same way. But in the midst of all this stuff, and reindeer, and elves, and snowmen, and all this, that's not actually the reason why we celebrate Christmas. It's the miracle of the incarnation. God coming to earth. And so as Dave comes up and reads John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, I just invite you to open up God's word. Maybe even before he reads, just say, Lord, just in the stillness of your own heart, Lord, speak to me through your word. I don't want to miss what you have for me today. So let's open up God's holy word together. Dave, would you read?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born to God, of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. So in this soaring passage, it starts off with the same words that the Bible starts off in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, before anything was made, there was God. And the word, the Greek word there is logos, this idea of the reason and purpose of God, was with God, and the Word was God. We see here this snapshot of the relationship of the Trinity, that God is this perfect relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in perfect relationship, perfect community, perfect unity, and then creating together. And then I wanted to draw our attention to verse 9 and beyond. I'm wondering if we could just jump up there. So it's now talking about the Word of God personified, the second member of the Trinity, Jesus, come to earth, the true life, the one who is part of creation, the one who gives life, the one who gives light, the true life, light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, so Jesus was part of creation, the world, and what's that phrase? Did not recognize him. I want us to spend a little time on that idea, because that fundamentally is the problem in the world, is that somewhere in human nature, in the sinful aspect of human nature, we have a tendency to ignore God. Now, whether that's because of all the pressures we feel, or that's the pressures of inside ourselves, our own proclivity towards selfishness and self-centered living, or, you know, the very same reason that the largest section in the bookstore is the self-help section. Ever notice that? So whether that's self-help in finances, or whether that's self-help in your diet, or self-help in relationships, we like to know that we are helping ourselves. We love the idea of independence. And so part of the human condition is to say, I can do this without God. And it's funny, I wonder, even if in the church, you know, even as we celebrate Christmas, it's possible to do Christmas without God. We do it all the time, I think. In our culture. I mean, it's so funny that here is this, you know, Christ Mass, the worship service to remember the coming of Christ. And you ask the average American what Christmas is all about, and they probably will say something like family, generosity, or giving, or celebration. And those are good answers, but they totally miss the point. It's like saying, what's the Seahawks game about this afternoon? And they say, well, it's about hot dogs and beer and, you know, pretzels and yelling at the television set and being really sad in Pittsburgh. But you forget that the game is about football, right? We do this to Christmas. And if this is not Starbucks' problem, this is not Target's problem, this is not Walmart's problem, no, there's no Mart that is to blame for this. They're doing their job, which is selling you stuff. So if you don't like the business, don't buy their stuff. It's really pretty simple. The problem is it happens in our hearts, brothers and sisters in Christ. We can live in ways that fail to recognize God. The world did not recognize him. And because they didn't recognize him, verse 11, he came to that which was his own, and yet his own did not receive him. Now, this passage is initially talking about the nation of Israel as Jesus comes and how literally in that time there were people that looked the Son of God in the eye, maybe shook his hand or whatever they did to greet exactly back then. They looked God in the bod straight in the eye and said, "You're not him." They totally missed it. Because their expectations of what the Savior would look like were based more on their own traditions and their expectations rather than on Scripture itself. We can do the very same thing. We fail to recognize Jesus. And then we don't receive him. And when we don't receive him, we miss out. I mean, that's what's at stake here. Jesus, it says, is the author of creation. So the giver of life. We miss out on the essence of what life is supposed to be about. Which is why we fill it with everything else, isn't it? That's why marketers are so effective. Because there's a hole in your soul. There's a hole in my soul. And a new car would totally fix it. For a couple of weeks. A new relationship would totally fix it. Maybe, or probably not at all. There's a hunger in the human heart that can only be satisfied by God, but we try for everything else. We fail to recognize him. We fail to receive him, so we miss out on life. And we miss out on light. And I don't want to miss it. Do you? He came to that which was his own. His own did not receive him. They did not recognize him. It's like, this always kind of baffles me, but I can talk. You know Superman? The movie Superman? So you got Superman, he's just finished stopping a train or, you know, flying across the country or doing some amazing, remarkable thing. He lands and he puts on glasses and then nobody can recognize him at all. Oh, it's weird. I was looking for a superhero, but there's some dude with glasses over there. I have no idea what's going on. It's like the simplest of disguises and you can't see him at all. And God is everywhere, at work in the world, in the simplest of disguises. And we can't see him. Far too often we can't see him. We don't recognize him. And so we don't receive him. And so we miss out on what he has for us. So where do we recognize God? Where is he? Where is he hiding? Jesus tells us a few places to look for clues. It's not going to be on the screen, but would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 37. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." You want to find Jesus? He said one of the places that he hides, one of the places he hides, are in the most vulnerable of the world. Those who are sick. Those who are imprisoned. Those who need food. Those who need shelter. We can look for him there. That's where one place we can find him. But I hope also we don't just think, oh, I can only see Jesus when I do something really big and dramatic. You know, like, we pray for our missionaries. We're so grateful for things like that. And school starting in Nicaragua and Christmas offering. And we could sponsor a school for a year, like right here from the giving in this room. It could happen. I think it's going to happen. We're going to celebrate that for Christmas. I love that idea. That's fantastic. Those are big and dramatic and bold and wonderful things. And some of you are like, you know, I did 10 loads of laundry this week. And I wiped a snazzy nose so many different times. Where's Jesus there? All I did was take care of little Johnny. This passage reminds us that that's where he is. He's in the mundane. He's in the ordinary. He's in those tiny acts of service and compassion and love and care and the things that most people would overlook, and so they miss him. They miss him. The significance in the everyday, in the ordinary. And we know this because of this great promise. The Word became flesh. Verse 14, and made his dwelling among us. And so we have, what's that word? Seen. We've seen him. His glory. The glory in the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God is closer than you think. And because through Christ God is everywhere, we can worship him anywhere. There's no situation too distant. There's no place that you can't make a comeback from. There's no sin so great that God would say, oh, totally missed that one. Sorry, there's no hope for you. There is no place that we can go that God cannot reach you and me there. He is closer than you think. I don't want to miss him this Christmas. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of expectation. There's a lot of changes. For our family, this is a weird Christmas. I'm just telling you, it's good. You know what? We lost Anita's mom this last July. And so, you know, we just had the first kind of family Thanksgiving this past week. And just think, this sucks. Don't like this at all. Some of you are going to be upset because I use the word sucks. I'm sorry. But this just hurts. This is supposed to be happy. It just feels empty. Some of you understand that. You've been there, or you are there right now. It's hard. Hard. And God is there. And I don't want to miss him. Do you? God is right there. In the mundane, in the ordinary, in acts of compassion, in the kindness of others. In our opportunities to care for the vulnerable and the poor and the marginalized and the disenfranchised and the person who walks into church lonely and wonders whether anybody cares about them at all. We look for Jesus right there. You can find him there. Don't miss him. Because to all who will receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or a husband's decision or a husband's will, but born of God. There's a lot of things in your life that you have no control over. Where you're born, when you're born, how you're born, the circumstances around your birth. You had nothing to do with that, but you have a whole lot of influence in whether or not you will receive the second birth. Whether or not you will remember and recognize that you are a child of God. That God has a purpose and plan for your life. And all that you can do is to receive him. And you have the choice not to as well. But I hope you would. Jesus, come into my life. Or if you've been walking with Jesus for many years, come into my life afresh and again. Especially this Christmas season. I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss you. So help me to see you. Let's pray together as the band comes up. God, thank you for this tremendous promise that you understand our situation. That by Jesus Christ, the Word has been made flesh and is dwelling among us. God, we do not want to miss it. We do not want to miss it. So Lord, help me to see you. Help us to see you. Help us to look for you in the places of human need in this world. The sick, the poor, the imprisoned, the impoverished, the vulnerable, the refugee, the immigrant, the outsider, the outcast. And Lord, as we see you, both in those places and in the mundane, everyday places, the family places, the workplace places, the neighborhood places, the volunteering places. Lord, as we see you and recognize your glory, may we fall before you in worship. Thank you that you give life and light to all who will receive you. We want to receive you today. And friends, I want to give you an opportunity. I recognize people come from a variety of backgrounds, and church might be a whole new thing. And I want to give you an opportunity. If you have never received Christ as a Savior and Lord, would you allow me to pray for you? And if you're wanting to take that first step, just by putting up your hand. We've been so blessed that in the last month that more than a dozen people have made first-time commitments to Christ. Thank you, God, for what you are doing in our midst. We worship you. We worship you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Friends, I invite you to stand.